Welcome to the Mending Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Hoyt, and along with my sister, Lena Hoyt, a licensed marriage and family therapist, we want to help you recover from trauma, whether it's childhood trauma, complex trauma, PTSD, or any other trauma sustained from abuse or narcissistic relationships. We want to help you develop skills and ways that can help you to recover from the symptoms and the effects of trauma. We are so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, Amy here. Are you feeling stuck or overwhelmed by things that pop up in your daily life? And perhaps these are because of past traumas or toxic stress? Have you tried traditional therapy and found that it wasn't enough? I know that was the case for me. That's why we developed the Whole Health Lab. Mending Trauma has put together a program that combines the latest research with proven methods to help you recover from trauma and move forward from these daily stressors and triggers. We use somatic therapy, EMDR, cognitive behavioral therapy, and internal family systems therapy. We use nervous system regulation and many other tools so that we can combine the best methods that are identified in the research to help you recover without being completely overwhelmed. So you can work on trauma on your own pace, your own time, and still with the mentorship and support of a highly trained, certified staff. That's us. No more waiting for appointments or sitting in traffic, driving to see a therapist. With our online program, the Whole Health Lab, you can access it from anywhere, anytime, even on an app. Visit mendingtrauma.com/Whole Health Lab and learn more. Get your questions answered. We've got a frequently asked questions section and sign up so that you can have this life-changing program in your world today. Don't let your past hold you back any longer. Take control of your future, and we can't wait to see you in the Whole Health Lab. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today's episode is one that we have talked about before, but we really, it's just such an incredible tool for recovery from trauma and CPTSD that we really wanted to address it again and talk about EMDR. So EMDR is a form of bilateral stimulation. And bilateral stimulation is using opposite sides of your body in a rhythmic motion. So think of walking, running, bicycling, swimming. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But we're going to dive into what EMDR, how it was developed, essentially, what it does, what bilateral stimulation does for us. And then we're going to talk about how well researched it is and how effective it is for trauma. So let's get started.
EMDR was discovered by Dr. Francine Shapiro pre her doctorate. So she was a doctoral student at Stanford University, and she was trying to figure out a difficult problem with some of the research that she was doing. And she was walking on the Stanford campus and noticed that her eye was catching on something in nature to the right and then to the left and then to the right and then to the left. And as she became consciously aware of this, she recognized that she was able to sort through and resolve this problem in a way that she hadn't been able to before. And so based on that, she started exploring how this eye movement could help open up the brain and help people process differently. She introduced it to the professional therapy world in 1990 or 91, I believe, and people were horrified at how this was being presented. If you just move your eyes while you're talking about a hard thing, you'll feel better. And it wasn't as simple as that, but I think that's kind of how it got people conceived of it.
Yeah. So it was considered really hokey initially. Yeah. Woo-woo. Yeah. So a lot of the professionals started out of hand, kind of rejected it.
Exactly. That's a great way to describe it. And you had a few professionals who put it to the test and had amazing results. And those are the professionals who ended up working on mass traumas in the early 90s, the Turkish earthquake, the the victims of war in Serbia, those kinds of things. So it's the most researched trauma treatment in the world because it was so ludicrous to so many people that they started trying to prove it wrong. And so thousands of research papers and experiments later, it is one of the most accepted trauma treatments. It's one of the most effective trauma treatments. And a litmus test for this can often be what the Veterans Association uses for treatment. It's a very accepted and common practice with the VA, and also how insurance determines what it will pay for. And this is also a very accepted intervention for therapy and for healing trauma. So the foundation of it is kind of fascinating. And then all the research that got done, and then the work on these mass traumas where a group of therapists came in and did this work with people, and there was some good research that resulted from that as well. And Amy talked about how EMDR is a form of bilateral stimulation. So many people instinctively will do bilateral stimulation without any awareness. We did a corporate training this week, and somebody came up to me afterwards and talked about their stepdaughter who has autism and that she does the stimming, and that it's every other hand, it's this agitated movement, but it's every other. And we talked about how fascinating it was. No one taught her this. It was her body's instinctive reaction for soothing. And people sway. They move their weight from foot to foot. That's bilateral stimulation. People talk all the time about how they go for a walk or a run and they figure something out that had been bothering them. EMDR is a subcategory that uses bilateral stimulation, but it's not bilateral stimulation alone. So what we want to do is we want to find a practitioner who's trained in it, because there is a formula or a concept or a pathway of helping people move through their trauma using EMDR. And there's a step-by-step process that's been used now for, 35 years, something close to that.
One of the things we see is using EMDR in our program is people are not quite sure why when they go do EMDR, they don't start with their most horrific trauma. And we get questions about that. And I was just thinking about the protocol and the pathway that has been established to be most effective really includes kind of titrating, if you will. I don't know if that's the right term, but you don't start with your most horrific trauma typically when you're doing EMDR. And I think that's important for listeners to know, because I also see a lot of people who are like, I want to do EMDR, but I'm really scared. I'm really scared it's just going to flood me.
Yes. I'm really glad you brought that up. The first trainer I had, Philip Mansfield, he was one of the therapists that responded to some of those mass traumas. And he talked about with EMDR, we want to have the option of doing what he called low-hanging fruit, which was something that was not so overwhelming, but it was disturbing. And you can start there, get the client acclimated to the EMDR process. It doesn't flood the nervous system, that sort of thing. And then the second set of trainings I did was with Laurel Parnell, and she also was one of the therapists that joined in those mass traumas in the early 90s. And her focus is on attachment-focused EMDR. With that, you want to make sure that the client has a sense of comfort or a felt sense of safety in their body with you, or they can't do EMDR effectively because their alert system in their brain is on too strongly. So that's a really important distinction. In my experience, working on the worst thing first is really contraindicated in most cases.
Yeah, so you definitely want to choose a practitioner that, of course, has been trained and also has been trained in trauma. And this I cannot underscore enough, because the majority of practitioners who have been out practicing for, you know, over 5 years, that was not part of their core curriculum in graduate school. Correct. The impact of trauma. And so you really want to look at someone who's gone ahead and gone to extra training about how to treat trauma. Because if you don't, they may be a great EMDR practitioner, but they may not necessarily understand how to treat trauma in the way that is best to be flooded, not to be flooded.
The thing with EMDR is it can really, people experience it as miraculous, because if we're doing what Philip Mansfield called the low-hanging fruit, or we're doing like something distressing but not overwhelming, people will find relief within, you know, 30, 40 minutes. And it's just astonishing. And so the idea is that EMDR opens your brain from left to right and from front to back. So you actually have all the parts of your brain online. As we talked about in our last week's episode, the brain changes when with a diagnosis of PTSD, with a traumatic event that you haven't been able to recover from. And so the EMDR allows this opening front to back, side to side, and brings all of your brain online. The other thing that I think is really powerful about EMDR is you can't work harder at it. It's actually a subconscious process. And the most important thing is to let go of control, which is very, very difficult for some people that have had trauma, because control is a pathway to safety, the brain believes.
Yes, that's something that I have struggled with EMDR. Initially, am I doing it right or am I doing it wrong? Which is hilarious, because there's no wrong way to do it.
Exactly.
Because the brain just takes over and does what it needs to do. And, you know, you have walked me through that, but there are times I've done EMDR and I just had to end early because I wasn't able to let go of that control. And, you know, just approaching with benevolent curiosity is a great anecdote for that, because instead of going into a shame spiral, like, I couldn't even do this EMDR session today, it's more like, wow, how interesting. Why was I not able to let go today? What's going on? Yeah. But the other thing I want to make sure we remind listeners of, and we've said this before, but I think some of the most astonishing research on EMDR shows that one EMDR session is the equivalent to 8 talk therapy sessions in terms of efficacy. As you're speaking about all of the brain being online, that we know that it's so effective. It just can't really, there's not a lot of other treatments that are as effective. Perhaps neurofeedback. That's the only one I can think of that's as effective.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of efficacy with internal family systems as well. Because
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because it also involves the body, like body awareness. And it's a really fascinating approach.
Yeah, that's a great point. Okay, so going back to EMDR and bilateral stimulation, let's just quickly explain to listeners what it looks like, because a lot of people I talk to, again, say they're scared to go. Let's demystify that. So typically what the therapist will do is either have tappers that are under your legs or on, you know, you're holding, whichever way you decide to do it. And the tappers provide a bilateral stimulation.
Correct. They're little, I call them buzzers, but then people start thinking that they're going to be like, it's going to be electrodes that are entering them, but, mm-hmm. but it's just a buzzing in the hand. And so you have mm-hmm. the alternate.
Yes. And that's great for kids, especially. The other way to do it is just simply doing a butterfly tap while you're receiving EMDR. And that's how we do it in the program. where you cross your arms in front of your chest and each hand is resting on your shoulders and you just tap back and forth, left to right, right to left. And as you're doing that, and you can even tap on your legs, but as you're doing that, the therapist is walking you through an 8-step pathway or protocol where they are asking some questions and not expecting a lot of verbal responses. So you're not doing a lot of talking. You're doing the tapping if you're not using the buzzers, and you're processing on a subconscious level. So you're not necessarily, I don't know how to describe it. You're not verbalizing everything.
You're not verbalizing everything at all. There are little snippets of parts where you verbalize. In our program, because we do group EMDR, we follow a protocol that came out of University of Mexico, I believe. And it uses drawings instead of verbalizations. And that's been really effective for people.
Non-threatening. I think that's what I want to convey to people. You're not going in there and unzipping your deepest, darkest trauma. You're not verbalizing it. You are, unless you've been working with someone for a while and you all have agreed that you're going to process some of the heavier stuff. But it's so benign in a way, but it's so effective.
Yes. And since it's gained so much traction in the last 20, 25 years, 30 years, there's a lot of technology that's developed around it. So my little tappers also have an audio component. So for somebody who doesn't tolerate the little vibrating of the tappers, we can put on a headphone and it's alternating beeps. There are also therapists that use light bars. And instead of waving their finger in front of the client, because one of the things that happened is that therapists started getting repetitive motion injuries in their shoulders. And so there was this development of the light bar, and it goes from left to right and back again, and you just follow it with your eyes. We have one client in our program who has an autoimmune disease that inhibits full functioning of her body. And so instead of tapping, she uses eye movement when we're doing the group EMDR. So there's several different ways that you can do it.
That's great. Thank you for bringing that up. So we know it works. We know it's amazing. We know you want to go to someone who's well-trained and also trained in trauma. Anything else you want to let our listeners know about EMDR and bilateral stimulation?
It can be a gift that you give to yourself. If you cannot be overwhelmed by fear, and if you can connect with a practitioner, a therapist that can honor your agency and the speed at which you proceed and the topics which you work on, you're going to find it a really amazing transformative experience.
That's great. Again, leaving with hope. I love that. And thank you so much for joining us this week. And we look forward to being with you next week. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Mending Trauma Podcast. Lane and I are really grateful that you spend time with us each week. We know you have a choice and that time is currency. We would love if you would share this episode on social media and tag us so we can reshare. If you feel so inclined, go and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to pods so that we can get the word out and help more people. We know that we are all working hard on our mental health, and we wish you great success this week in implementing these new skills. We'll check in next week.